What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And Positive Chuck Bachler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. If you're new to the show, we're coming at you five times a week with all the fresh Clippers content.
Fresh.
Go ahead and check us out on iTunes. Leave a rating. Subscribe, at the very least.
Dude, say what's up. Click something.
Let us know your thoughts. For those of you returning, shout out day ones. Always great to have you listening. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. So today, we do our Thirsty Thursday segment every single Thursday where we talk about who and what we're thirsty for. We're going to be talking a little bit about team personnel as well as a segment in this Thirsty Thursday called Goofiest Lineups, where we just talk about the weirdest lineups we could possibly run out on the floor and maybe some of their advantages and disadvantages.
I'm into it. For off-season content, this is perfect.
We're going to be kicking things off with some kind of questions about minutes. We're going to be looking at Landry Shamet and his starting potential. You know, what we think is going to go down with both his amount of touches, his field goal attempts, as well as just minutes in general. And then we're going to wrap things up with some shavings. We got a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be talking the possible Patrick Patterson signing. There was a cool thing from a Jackie McMullen write-up about the trade for Paul George, so we're going to be talking about that as well. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. So there seems to be one of the big questions now that the roster is seemingly solidified,
mm-hmm.
other than these technically still two open spaces, is what is going to happen with Landry Shamet's position on the team, just from the sense of, will and should he start?
He's cut.
Get him out of here.
I think, well, here's the thing. From a practical sense, we're not having Paul George for the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah, so he's starting at least that point.
He's starting at least that much. and I think then it just really boils down to fit. So correct me if you think I'm wrong here, but while we're resting Paul George, and depending on what we do with load management, minutes, whatever you want to call it, with Kawhi,
mm-hmm.
I believe the starting lineup we're going to be running out at the beginning of the season will be Patrick Beverley at the one, Landry Shamet at the two, Kawhi playing his natural small forward position.
Natch.
I think that we see Jamichael Green jump up to the starting lineup at the four.
Okay.
And then, or Harkless, I guess, just depending on the matchup.
Yeah.
And then I would believe that we will keep Zubac starting at the five unless something changes between, you know, free agency and the start of the season.
I agree with that pretty much wholeheartedly. I don't see a world in which we don't have Paul George for 2 months and Shamet is like coming off the bench, because that starting lineup, yes, it would have Kawhi
mm-hmm.
and Bev in it, which would be great, but without a true shooter or someone who's going to completely draw someone's attention to the three, the spacing still good, but not where it needs to be in the first 2 months of the season.
I agree. And Kawhi is solid. I wouldn't call him knockdown from three. It's
no,
you know, I mean, he's comfortable, but it's not where he's at his most effective point.
He's not Shamet.
Yeah, he's not Shamet. And I think with the loss of Gallo, RIP, you know, God.
Strongest man in the league.
Strongest man
strong in Oklahoma.
Hate that we're going to have to face it. But anyways, with Gallo being off the roster, I think that Jamichael Green is the most natural fit at the four.
Yeah.
He played really well with the bench unit, but with the absence of somebody to kind of fill in that hole of a solid rebounder.
Yeah.
Maybe not an elite rebounder, but a solid rebounder.
Knows where to be at least.
Yep.
Is always kind of in the mix.
And from what we've seen so far, great shooter.
Yeah.
Because you got to have, you got to have at least two of those guys on the floor.
Minimum. Yeah, you're totally right. You need two guys who are actually going to make the defense go out to the perimeter. Not just think about it, but actually have to play you on the perimeter.
So, and I think a lot, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think that a lot of Landry Shamet's, and for better or worse, I think that a lot of Landry Shamet's future playing minutes could a little bit be decided on his productivity during this stretch without Paul George.
Yeah, man, I hadn't thought about that until you mentioned it, but I think you might be right.
So,
they like him, obviously, from last year and everything.
Oh, for sure, for sure. They just also were really fond of that lineup with Lou Will at the one and Shamet at the two.
Yeah.
Which I think is also great. I don't think, you know, Landry, I don't want to say egoless because that makes it sound like you're not proud of what you do, but he doesn't have the kind of ego where I don't think
entitlement.
Yes, I don't think he would take it as a blow if he was to be coming off the bench, especially if you're coming off the bench next to the most prolific bench scorer ever.
Yeah, he had, I mean, he averaged 28 minutes last year, which I think is obviously just going to go down. Maybe not in those first 2 months. But yeah. After that, that's going to go down. But the idea of him off the bench with Lou and Trez makes that pick and roll, and I say this without having seen it,
mm-hmm.
not in terms of points per possession, but in terms of overall value and messing with the defense, I think it makes that pick and roll even more valuable.
We saw it in the playoffs, and I think it was essential to at least dissuade teams from trapping Lou Will.
You just need to make them, if they can't trap Lou Will, that second unit can score on any second unit.
Yeah.
And maybe some first units too.
Yeah. So I say that to say this, that like we might see, he might not be playing 28 minutes per game over the entirety of the season.
Yeah.
But even in Philly, which was a stacked team, was a pretty stacked team
for
even
sure.
before they made the trades.
They had Redick on that team with Shamet. So the fact that he was getting minutes there is like,
he was still averaging 21 minutes.
Yeah.
So through 54 games, like not a small sample size.
Hefty sample size.
So I think that we might see a decrease from 28 minutes, but that's just because that's a lot of minutes. I think his minutes will be pretty close to that. But just
even off the bench.
I mean, during while Paul George is out.
Yeah.
Paul George is out for sure. And I think what'll be the determining factor in him as a starter, and this is barring rest or anything. If everyone is at full health, I think the decision to start him at the two and move Kawhi and Paul George down a position will depend on what he's able to bring to the table from a playmaking perspective, as well as how he's able to elevate himself defensively.
Yeah, the defense was so nice to see in that playoff series. But sometimes with play, and I'm not saying this is a Shamet thing, sometimes guys can just kind of turn it on or whatever during the playoffs because the intensity and you're jacked up. So hopefully he can kind of harness whatever he was feeling for that series and kind of understand what he did and play through that the whole year.
I don't doubt it. I think that, he's a young guy. I think that he always gets the J.J. Redick comp, which I think is apt. But I also think he's got the Klay Thompson thing where I don't want to jinx this, but I think that he's going to have like one of those durability careers where
you're like, oh, damn, he's played this many minutes. Oh, damn. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do see that as being a positive. And I do think that he has the potential to be a better ball handler than Klay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Just from the experience at Point in college, which we know doesn't translate all the way to the NBA, but it definitely does help if you started with that. And the Team USA stuff, I think, is going to help him a bunch. In terms of learning how to get coached and maybe...
Oh, in terms of his growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought you meant like it's going to influence Doc.
No, that'd be great. Team USA is like, look, you play for America? You play for me. No, I think that's going to help him coaching-wise. I'm hoping he learns some stuff there. There was an interesting idea from Twitter user at, I believe it's Charizard, Chrdzrd. Bummed he couldn't get that handle, I'm sure. He thinks that Shamet and Green act as kind of rotating fifth starters depending on rest matchup when everyone is healthy. So you kind of, maybe if you don't start Green, you start Shamet. If you start Shamet, you don't start Green or something like that.
Yep.
That was an interesting, like the rotating rotations are going to be so cool to see this year.
Yeah, the rotary of those rotating rotations, it's going to leave you dizzied.
Doc's going to be the head of the freaking rotary club for the Clippers.
I definitely agree with this.
We look there's so good with Green starting.
Yeah, there's not a lineup that you could really show me that I'd be like, I don't think this is going to work. Other than there was a listed depth chart with Trez at the four and Zubats at the five.
The ESPN depth. Okay, just to get on my soapbox for a second.
Right.
Whoever is making the ESPN depth chart for NBA teams does not watch the NBA or does not know how to use spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Because they're all over the place.
The only reason I'm critiquing that one is it makes no sense to me why you would start Trez at the four and have Fee be your first center off the bench.
Yeah, or why separate when we just Trez and Lou?
It makes no sense.
It's insane.
So that's one of the few where I'd say, no, I don't think that would work.
Yeah.
But other than that, you'd be kind of hard-pressed to find a lineup that I'm like, that wouldn't at least pique my interest.
Yeah, I can see the upside of pretty much every lineup possibility on this team. When everyone So this is funny. I was going to ask, where do you want to see Shamit play? But I think people might have to start getting used to the idea of not having consistency. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but in terms of core starters, I think we might see a thing where it's like these three guys are our core starters who are going to start every time they possibly can.
Agreed.
The two other spots, we don't know what's going down in a good way.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is something that we talk about, like sort of a built-in load management. And I think that this ties into that in a really good way, both in that you can cater your lineup to the matchup that you're playing. And, you know, we just don't ever have to worry about resting either one or both of our marquee guys.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest. And, you know, TBD, you know, maybe this bench will take a huge regression, but even still, them regressing to the mean would still be a pretty solid squad.
Yeah.
So, in terms of minutes played, like if we're talking, I would be shocked and stunned if he saw less than, let's call it 22 minutes a game.
Yeah, I put him at over 20, under the 28 from last year, just because that's bound to happen. But yeah, I think the 25 range might be, we could see that.
Yeah, and I think his attempts with us last year, he was at 8.4 a game.
Yeah.
Total attempts, with six of those being from three. I think that we would maybe see games where all of his attempts are solely coming from three.
I think it's going to be around seven, and it's going to be all threes maybe.
Yeah, I think so too. I've talked about this before. I do think it would be a detriment to his development, as well as just a little bit of a waste of a player if we're only using him on spot ups.
For sure.
Just because I think like the motion that he can add to an offense, the way that he can draw defenders off the ball, is really interesting, and I think really moves this offense. We just saw times last year when despite having some solid shooters, ball movement could get very stagnant.
Yeah. It's just, and especially in the second unit when it was like, all right, Lou and Trez, do your thing, which isn't dumb because it was the best pick and roll of all time.
Yeah.
But I agree to your point. I think maybe on the second unit with this added flexibility of Shamit on there when everyone's fully healthy and playing and he's on that second unit, he might be more of a spot up guy, but only in a Lou and Trez heavy pick and roll situation, not every game type thing.
Yeah, for sure. And we also don't know how he's going to be ingratiated into that two-man game.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've only seen it. We didn't really get to see it to its full potential, and they didn't get enough games together to really test that or build the kind of vocabulary that Trez and Lou already have. I guess I got to ask, is there a better pairing at the two with Lou Williams than Landry Shamit on this roster?
I don't think so. Not for what Lou's job is, no.
I can't.
In terms of bench scorer being the guy off the, there's, I mean, I would love to pair Patrick Beverley off the bench, but we don't have a guy to put in the first string. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, and I think that's a good pairing because he can cover for Lou defensively.
Yeah.
And
learn, we never know. What if Shamit and Trez develop some deadly pick and roll this year?
Yeah.
That's an entire possibility too. Not as deadly as last year with Lou and Trez, but having three guys who can run an absurd pick and roll for maybe a combined, I don't know, if you combine both their pick and rolls to average like 1.1 points per possession.
I mean, that's a lot.
Oh, I know. But it was even higher last year. But it just could be interesting. I think he'll flourish. I think development-wise, you're totally right. It would be kind of a shame if he just turned into a spot-up guy. So when he's getting those first team minutes, we might see him opened up a little more with what responsibilities they give him. Second unit, maybe not so much. Maybe slowly add wrinkles and whatnot. But I would really like to see him get some more responsibilities. Maybe not necessarily like total ball handling and playmaking wise.
Yeah.
But just more focus as opposed of the offense, as opposed to just the stand in the corner guy.
Yeah, and I got a take on that. It's that if we want to see what he looks like as a playmaker, we're going to see more of that on the first unit, which is kind of weird for a younger guy.
Yeah.
He has more chance to be making plays and being a little bit more of a facilitator on the first unit than he does on the second.
Because
Lou Will is the most valuable with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
And I think that would kind of be a detriment to the greatness of Lou Will to have somebody else running point while he's on the floor.
Well, he's like hanging out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny, too, because if you look at the starting lineup last year after all the trades and stuff, Shamit was our almost second go-to guy for a bucket on that starting lineup.
Yep.
So that responsibility is drastically reduced. He's third if Kawhi and PG are out there with him.
Definitely.
And so, and that's a big gap between 1-2 and the third option in terms of like who you're going for with the bucket.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
There's a million lineups. Man, 28 minutes per game is so much. I didn't realize you played that much last year. Coming up after this, we got a Thirsty Thursday segment with a bit of an edema edition as well.
That's when we've had a little too much.
Welcome to Thirsty Thursdays. Oh my God, what great Foley work. Foley artist work, excuse me. Okay. welcome to Locked On ASMR, strictly opening cans. This is our Thirsty Thursday segment. We talk about what we want to see more of. We got some goofy ass lineups we're going to talk about. I want to get something I'm edema'd about, though.
What do you got?
The disrespect for the Clippers bench seems very real across basketball internet. And I don't get it.
All right, what's the counterpoint?
The counterpoint is a lot of people are apparently, I see a lot of it of, I'm not sold and their bench seems suspect with no evidence given.
My thing is, they're running back the same bench that was, I mean,
the best.
If not the best bench, okay, the second best?
In terms of points, I think it was 7 or 8 points higher than the Nets per game, which was number one, obviously. We still have the sixth man of the year.
And the runner-up.
And the runner-up, so I'm not sure the hole's there. Shamit's probably going to get some more bench time.
That's devastating.
Which is crazy.
That's devastating to a bench.
We replaced Chandler and Temple with guys who do their Magruder, and I guess you could kind of even say Mo, because he might get some bench time too. With guys,
I think Mo will be coming off the bench. It makes sense from a defensive standpoint to me.
They're a little better than those two other guys. They're more efficient, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two rookies who we're high on, which I'm not even factoring in on the bench thing because they're rookies and they're probably going to get a bunch of G League time. It's from people who obviously didn't watch the games, which I don't fault you for. If you have your team, you watch your team. That's fine.
Yeah.
But who also apparently weren't reading the news, because a lot of people were talking about when Lou won the sixth man of the year. A lot of people just talked about that because Lou was the man and it was a big deal. It was his third. And they talked about the pick and roll a bunch with Trez.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my only defense for people of this would be, you know, we didn't get a lot of nationally televised games last year. We had 3, I think.
True.
And we weren't a sexy team to look at last year. Mm-hmm. If you didn't watch us last year, you sure as hell didn't watch the year before.
or you did and you're a masochist and you have a very weird interest. I like watching teams that are 2 steps before the reveal.
I guess I understand why people are a little bit unfamiliar.
Unfamiliarity I'm fine with, but yeah. Washed and suspect. It's like, also,
washed? Who's washed?
And if you just look at our record, don't even look at the bench stats.
Yeah.
Just look at the team's record and it's like, oh, 48 went. Wow, you probably had a pretty good bench. I just don't get it.
No.
I was upset about it.
I can tell. You seem heated.
I wasn't that heated. I didn't get to talk about the Clippers very much in Oregon.
But if anybody has a counterpoint for a better constructed bench, I'm interested to hear arguments.
And I understand the argument against it is maybe who's the primary playmaker, who's the pure facilitator. Look. If you want to get granular, I totally agree. If you want to get granular, I can kind of see the arguments. But it's like, A, Lou Williams. B, Shamit sometimes.
How many starting units, and this is an open-ended question, but how many starting units also have a guy who is so clearly the guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think that like...
Second units?
I meant second units, yeah. That is so clearly the guy. Because I think even that gives a bench an identity and a drive that helps people kind of fill in their roles.
Absolutely. You have a pillar of who the ball is with for the most part.
Yeah.
And you know... With a guy like Lou, exactly what you're getting, which is a bucket.
Yeah.
So you know if you're Mo, you just got to play D. If you're Shamit, you can, like we just talked about the last segment, you maybe one game you're a spot-up guy, maybe the other game you got to do a little more ball handling because Lou's not feeling it. It just, I don't know, man. I guess people are going to be surprised when we have a good bench next year.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, wow, I guess that best bench in the league from last year. Even you said it. Even if they revert to the mean.
Yeah.
It's still a good bench. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. What are you thirsty for?
I'm thirsty just to see what we're rolling out.
Yeah. Agreed. We still got one, well, technically two, but maybe only one guy. But
yeah, so you're thirsty, you're saying, for the team to not make any more additions.
I was fine with where we're at.
Yeah.
And then those hopes were dashed literally 5 minutes after I put this note into the show notes.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that Patrick Patterson thing in the next segment. But I guess this transitions pretty well into... Let's each run out one of the goofiest lineups we could run out, and we can talk about what's good about it, what's not so good about it.
The goofiest one I thought of was there's this clamoring for people to sign Jamal Crawford, which, look, I love Jamal.
So your goofiest lineup, you're already running with someone who's not on the team?
Yep. We're signing Jamal for a farewell tour, and my lineup idea was Jamal, Lou, Sham, Trez, Zoo.
That's goofy, dude.
Bro, we got buckets everywhere. Who wants a bucket? Go get it.
So the glaring flaw of this lineup is pretty obvious.
Stamina.
I was thinking defense, but...
Well, yeah, so defense, look, you're not going to stop everyone every single possession. We all know that, okay? We know that that's impossible. No one's scoring 0 points in a game. No one's scoring...
I feel like it's a situation where they have to make a three on every play because they're automatically giving up at least a two on the
that's
other
That's what end. Trez and Zoo are there for, is to just pick one side of the paint. Or Trez... Zoo goes low. Uh-huh. Trez kind of goes, like, posts up. Like kind of just in the top of the key
okay.
for like the long rebounds and stuff.
Okay.
And then it's just Lou, Jamal, and Sham on the outside, baby. Almost running like a hockey style cycle the puck thing where no one down low even sees it.
Okay.
And then we're putting up, I don't know, 2.8 points per possession.
And how much is the other team though?
You know, this is all matchup based. we would see this lineup on days when like
we played the Suns?
Like when Indiana played us after the trade deadline. like when no one from the... Like not everyone from the whole team can be there that day. Or like a game where there's...
This is like the Chicago game where the half yeah. of the team was on a different bus yeah. that didn't make it.
A tornado ravages one of the other team's planes and they can't make it. Yeah, this is a... Or this
so
is
you're
like
flip-flopping on your personnel thing. Now you want to add Jamal Crawford before
this
you
This is for goofiest lineups, yeah. For goofiest lineups, I would love this. What do you got for goofiest lineups? For not adding people.
Yeah, for goofiest lineups.
I apologize
lineups,
for adding that.
Not adding people. I'm going Kawhi at the one.
Love it.
Mo Harkless at the two.
Okay.
Jamichael Green at the three.
Like it.
And then...
This is a huge lineup.
That's what I'm going for. and then at the four, you can run one of either, let's call it Montrez or... or Fee, fan favorite Fee.
All right.
Fan for Fee.
Okay.
And then at the five, Zubats.
I don't mind that lineup. That's a lineup that I'm like, dude, screw it.
Here's what's interesting.
If Trez could shoot better, that'd be fun.
Yeah. If Trez has a little bit of a jumper, I think that we'll see both of those guys expanding their range. Maybe not to a huge margin, but defensively, a backcourt of Kawhi Leonard and Mo Harkless sounds like a freaking nightmare.
Good luck.
That
yeah.
sounds like an absolute nightmare.
I don't know who's scoring on that backcourt wise.
Yeah.
Except maybe the Rockets.
And then you have Kawhi, extremely efficient ISO scorer,
mm-hmm.
As well as I think that he's going to have to pick up even more playmaking.
Yeah,
this season I think that
for
like,
sure.
that's going to be one of the burdens that's placed on him. Harkless not the greatest shooter, but you could run a pick and roll with Kawhi and Mo Harkless that is pretty interesting. Mo Harkless is pretty good as a roll man.
Yeah,
I think he's like 46% from the field. So yeah, not a bad finisher. and then you have Jamichael Green to spread the floor a little bit.
Yeah,
and then you know just the athleticism of Fee or Trez, and then. Zubats, who I'm assuming is going to be contesting absolutely everything
yeah.
that sniffs the paint on the other side of the floor.
That's his role for every lineup this year.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting lineup.
Yeah, we would call it the big boys.
The big boys? That's a good one. Big boys is good. How about you go Terrence at the one.
Okay. Love it already.
Lou at the two.
Nope.
Sham at the three.
Okay.
Green at the four.
Back on board.
Trez at the five.
All right.
That's a fun lineup.
Once again, though, I just don't know why you're taking Lou off the ball.
Okay, so no, put switch those two. Make Lou at the one, Terrence at the two, Shame at the three, Green at the four, Trez at the five.
Yeah, could work.
Then you got a couple of distributors up there.
That's
obviously
true.
The youngin's giving it to Lou for the most part.
Yep.
But then you never know, Terrence could go crazy one game.
Damn, Terrence, you a fool for this one.
There's going to be some crazy lineups. Someone on Twitter was, they were thirsty for what are death lineups going to be? And I think we kind of saw a glimpse of part of it against the Warriors because we basically ran it with Jermichael Green to five. To mm-hmm. me, that was our death lineup, basically.
Yeah, so to me, the death lineup is, my death lineup is, Lou, Sham, George, Kawhi, Green.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean,
or Trez, just because the pick and roll game is so well established with them.
Sure.
But I do like the spacing of Green.
I think mine's the same. And honestly, I think you could maybe have two where you could switch out one of, because I think you obviously need PG or Kawhi out there for one of those guys. You could maybe.
If this is a death lineup, both guys, to
yeah,
me, both
true.
Guys are playing. Like that, for it to be a death lineup, all
for
your
the
biggest
opponent
stars.
To die.
All your biggest stars are playing.
Okay. I think I agree with that. Another good one could be you maybe switch out. You maybe put Green at the four, Trez at the five, and move, you know, Kawhi or PG at that three area.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think you have to have for a true death lineup.
For a true death lineup, you're emptying the clip.
Yeah, you absolutely. Sometimes you got to empty the clip to get a kill, dude. Let us know what you guys or your goofy lineups. What are you thirsty for? Anything else? Anything off the top you're thirsty for?
Nah, I think that about does it.
Well, I'm thirsty for some healthier discussion about the Los Angeles basketball scene. I had a weird interaction with a guy in the airport.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
I was at the airport bar after my flight had been outright canceled. And the bartender, who was at his job, I want to make that point clear. He was kind of eyeballing my hat. I was wearing a classic Clippers hat. And I kind of had to like look at him and be like, hey. And he was like, oh, that is a Clippers hat. And I said, yep. I was like, and I always preface that. My first word anytime someone knows is a Clippers thing is, are you a Clippers fan? Because you kind of got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
I go, are you a Clippers fan? And he just launched into this argument. He just went, man, I'm a fan of everything LA. I was like, cool. He goes, if the Clippers are playing someone, it's not from LA, I root for them. If the Lakers are playing someone from LA, I root for the Lakers. I was like, okay, I can understand that. But then it clearly shifted to, he said, I'm tired of all this Clippers bullshit about picking on Lakers fans and yelling at Lakers fans all the time. And they just need to understand that that's just how things go. And he kept referring to that's just how things go as if I knew what he was talking about.
That's just the way it is.
Kind of. And I was just like, so are you a Lakers fan? He goes, no. And he kept being really mad about it. Yes. He kept being really mad about it, but then only lambasting the Clippers fans for how they apparently attacked the Lakers fans that he knew. It was very odd.
I will say, I'm thirsty for, guys, let's keep a level head and not be annoying fans.
Let's also do that.
Like, let's try to act like we've been here before.
Even though none of us ever have.
Even though none of us ever have, let's try to act like we've been here before.
Let's act like we've been there before. I was also thirsty for the team to stand pat, but that goes into our next segment. Patrick Patterson of the Clippers?
So we are staying pat in a way.
Ooh. Welcome to the third segment. William Updike just introed it so beautifully. There's a report that the Oklahoma City Thunder are buying out Patrick Patterson's contract.
How much is that one? 45 bucks?
Something like that. 86 bucks and a couple of sandwiches. And the wordage is intends to sign with the Clippers.
Yes.
So, first of all, is he actually going to sign with the Clippers? Because I have a lot of things I intend to do. I intend to not spend 4 hours at the DMV this weekend. I'm going to. I don't know. This seems like a move. If you look at Patrick Patterson's numbers.
Yeah.
I would say that they don't so much as jump out at you.
No, those numbers.
As trip and fall and knock their two front teeth out.
Yeah. So those numbers, just in case you're curious, last season he posted 4 points per game, 2 boards, half an assist.
Halfer.
On splits of 37, 34, 63, which is the number that gets me.
So bad.
If you listen to the podcast, I'm always harping on people's free throw percentages, especially if you're a like a wing player or a forward.
Yeah.
Anybody but a center. A center is allowed to have a 63% free throw
percentage. I'd say anybody but a center under 7 feet tall or over 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
He had an offensive rating of a buck 06 with a defensive rating of a buck 10. Usually you want those to be flipped. Do we think this was just a make Paul George, these buddies with Paul George move? Which I'm fine with if it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's perfectly fine.
You sound so mad.
I think, though, what I do like about this signing is this, to me, would make it pretty clear evidence that Jamichael Green will be in the starting lineup.
Yeah, good call.
So I do think that is positive. Yeah, Patrick Patterson started five games last season and three the year before.
He just doesn't. He's not an interior defender. He's not a distributor. And those are kind of the two things that a lot of people, myself included, thought that one of those would get addressed. He doesn't do either of those things.
Yeah.
He's also, a lot of people are saying that he is a good shooter. He is not a good shooter. Career three-point percentage of 36 on an average of 2 a game.
I mean,
that's not a shooter.
He's making one every other game.
I saw him described as a stretch four on Twitter, and that is not a stretch four. To me, if you think I'm wrong, please get at me. But a stretch four is someone who takes more than 2 threes a game and someone who makes more than 66% of one of those.
I mean, he's knocking down his twos, though, at a 44% clip.
2 years ago, he had pretty good numbers from three. I think it was like 5 a game at like 38%, which if he can get back to those in some limited capacity, cool.
The most he's ever averaged was the 16-17 season. He took 4 a game and shot 37%. So that's serviceable.
Yeah, so that would be fantastic. But he's just seemed to have hit a wall in the last 2 years in OKC.
He is a career 37% shooter from three.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not awful.
That's not awful. It is the 14th spot.
I'm just glad that it's not a guard.
Really?
I think adding a guard at this point seems like a concession for one of our two young guys, being Jerome Robinson and Terrence Mann, that we haven't really even, I feel like, gotten a good shake on yet.
And with what we heard Jerry West say at the playbook, he's very high on Mann.
Yeah.
So we might see some time for him. Okay, I can kind of see what you're saying about the guard. It just kind of, I just
thought if anybody would grab a center.
And then, yeah, we still can. There's one spot left.
Yeah, I don't think so we want to have a full roster, though, going into the season because then, I mean, I guess Bomber doesn't care. We could waive somebody in and it's like not a big deal.
Yeah, someone was worried about someone getting waived. And I was like, well, we still have an open roster spot. So I don't think anyone's at risk of getting waived right now. Unless something horrible happened at a team building exercise. Would this be the first move that the Clippers front office has made in a very long time where you're just kind of like, what? Like, okay. Everyone seems to have a very clear purpose. And this seems kind of like, all right, we're making Paul George happy. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I do think as a front, like, at the forward position, some combination of Harkless and Patterson is offensively anemic. But on the other end of the floor, I do see the upside of those two guys.
Yeah, okay, paired together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope it works out. How many minutes a game do you think Patterson gets if his intentions become met? I don't know.
If his intentions become...
My guess was 9, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's... I would put it right around there, too.
And those are games where we are up or down 25.
We're just playing 9 full minutes.
Yeah. Straight. No, I don't know.
I mean,
I guess I just don't really see the fit
TBD.
Out, right?
TBD. I think it just depends on where we end up running Magruder, who we did leave out of our conversation for pairings at the 2 next to Lou Will, simply because I just haven't seen enough of it to really know what that looks like.
Do you think Fee sees time before Patrick Patterson?
No.
Wow. I think he might.
We'll see. I mean, Patterson's not on the team yet, but...
Yeah, that's very true.
He is a vet, and I do think...
Yeah, Doc would maybe...
I mean, not even just Doc. Like, I think that Fee, you know, it might take some time to get his NBA legs.
For sure. Whew, let us know what you guys think about Patrick Patterson. Garrett Chorpening had a great tweet that I think we have the most Pats on the team of any team in the NBA.
Patrick Beverley, Pat.
Just give us the damn trophy already. We'll close out with this kind of cool tidbit from Jackie McMullen. Apparently, during the Paul George Kawhi trade talks, Ballmer drew the line at 4 firsts for Paul George. Mm-hmm. Doc Rivers was heavily involved with all these conversations and called and implored him to add the 5th, saying it wasn't just for Paul George, it was for PG and Kawhi. We weren't getting one without the other.
Yeah.
You know what makes a good leader?
Mm-hmm.
Listening to the people underneath you.
That's true.
Shout out Ballmer.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if we didn't get Paul George and Kawhi because we wouldn't give up one extra first round pick? I know we gave up a lot, but that's a lot to miss out on.
Yeah. I mean, only two of them weren't ours, which I feel like is always good.
And we kept our 2020.
Someone did kind of hit me with the nightmare scenario in which Paul George and Kawhi both leave in free agency, and then we still don't have picks forever.
But we got that chip. We got the chip keeping us warm. I can burn the chip. Yeah,
we'll just put the Larry O'Brien trophy in as the 5th player on the squad.
Yeah. Everyone will just be like, oh damn, how do I guard that dude? He's so good. Now that was a good tidbit. I'm really happy we have Paul George and Kawhi. I've been running through a couple nightmare scenarios as well. Don't want to get into them in the podcast.
You don't want to tease anything?
I don't want to tease anything nightmarish.
Okay.
I will tease tomorrow's episode.
We could love, marry, kill some nightmare scenarios tomorrow.
Oh, maybe we should. We're going to maybe love, marry, kill some truly horrific outlooks for tomorrow. Maybe I was thinking maybe rank the pack div centers.
Let's do it.
A lot of talk is who's going to guard who on certain teams.
Love it.
And then whatever else happens between now and then with the Clippers. Thank you guys for listening. I've been Positive Chuck Mockler. Check us out on iTunes.
Absolutely. If you haven't checked out the Himalaya app yet, it's where you can summit the mountain of pod.
Summit. And you won't die like you will on the actual Himalayas.
That's true. I've been William the Opinion Updike. Thanks so much for listening.